God's word to Proverbs chapter 3. We're talking about life keys. Proverbs chapter 3, we looked at verses 1 and 2 last week. I want you to look deeply with me at verse 3 and 4. Really simple verses. Because they're so simple, they're a little bit tough to relate without just reading them and saying apply them. But let's try. What are life keys? When we talk about life keys, what are we talking about? Well, this past week down in Florida, in Palm Bay, there was an elderly couple who had gone on a trip, their 58th wedding anniversary, and that's worthy of a trip. And when they came back to their home there in Palm Bay, Florida, they found that in their absence, their home had been invaded by 10 skunks. Yeah, 10 skunks. Now, they've called a trapper. And the trapper's been able to trap one of them, the one that was making the nest in the clothes dryer. Yeah, I wonder if that fabric softener stuff is going to help with that. I don't know. But the other 9 hide themselves so that nobody's been able to trap them or find them yet. They're in the kitchen area, which makes everything very appetizing at dinner. The wife is afraid to go in the kitchen, afraid they'll jump on her. You know, it's just a bad thing. So why did I bring that up? Because what I'm talking about in life keys is the difference between Jesus' statement in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and live it to abundance, and a life that's just stinking, you know? A home that just stinks. That's what life keys are about. We're talking about finding those areas that we can implement within our lives that change our lives from stinking to sweet and putting them into place so that we develop lives, no matter who we are, how young we are, or where we are, that have the sweet fragrance of the Lord upon them and the blessing of the Lord upon them versus coming home to something that stinks all the time. In life, in love, in relationships, and within family. Now, last week we talked about the first one. It was all about learning to bind the commandments of the Lord, to hear them, to make them part of our lives. And one of the things that I encouraged you to do in the midst of that is begin reading the Proverbs. So today is the 25th day. Today you need to read Proverbs chapter 25. And you just keep doing that. Tomorrow the 26th, next day the 27th chapter, all the way through. When you get to 31, turn around and start doing 1 and come back to where you are and read it all the way through. Make sure you've read the entire Proverbs and make that a part of your life. You may not do it every month, but do it for a while and then remember to come back to it some, and God will give you favor and blessing. Today's life key, beginning in verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of man. Here's a way to find favor and good repute. And the word good repute doesn't mean necessarily, it's not simply the idea that God's going to think highly of me, but rather that men and God are going to think of me in such a way to want to place favor upon me in order to hear me, in order to bless me. So, here it is. If I want favor with God and favor with man, the key to that comes in the first part of this verse. Don't let kindness and truth leave you. Instead, bind them on your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. What does a favorable position bring? I mean, very simply, what are we talking about? When we talk about finding favor or a favorable position, I want you to think about you living in a kingdom, all right? And as you live in a kingdom, some people have access to the king and some people don't, right? And so a favorable position, when we're talking about a favorable position with God and with man, you're talking about something like this favor with the king. And so the first thing that you have when you have a favorable position is you have access. And you can go before the king. And the first thing that you need if you're going to get anything done, or you're going to find blessing with the king, or he's going to lay upon your life good things, is you got to have access to the king. So that's what we mean by favorable position. We mean having access. But it goes further than that. It would mean having the assurance that the king is on your side. And so not only do I have access to the king, but because I have access and the king bestows on me that favor of access, I know that when I come before the king, I have this wonderful assurance that the king is there and he's listening to me and he wants to hear me. Not only assurance then, I have answer. And so a lot of the times when we're talking about a favorable position, particularly when we're talking about God, we're talking about the knowledge that I have access before God, that I have the assurance of this favorable position, that God really wants me to be there, that he desires me to be there, and that when I make petition to God, I have such favor with him that he answers that prayer and that position, that petition. Now, the same with man. This would be talking about with a boss or with my parents or with my professor. All of this kind of a general proverb covering all of those things, but I think we think clearly about it when we think about God, and that I want a favorable position before God that comes with access and assurance and answer. Well, Pastor, I thought when I got saved, I got all of those things. I thought I gained that favorable position. And in a way you do. In fact, in a very significant way you do. But how do I think about it? Because there is this positional aspect of my relationship with Jesus in which I read a statement this week about double impartation. Well, that's a big theological idea in which what God has done is he has imputed my sin to Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he died bearing my sin and my guilt, and therefore he paid for that and brought the forgiveness of God as he paid for that penalty. But not only did God impute my sin upon Jesus, he imputed Jesus' righteousness upon me. And so though I have no standing before God, the book of Hebrews says I can boldly go before the throne of God, before the grace of God, because Jesus has made intercession for me, Jesus has paid the price for me, Jesus has borne the penalty of my sin, and now when God looks at me, he looks at me with his favor because he is looking at me as one of his children with the favor of Christ resting upon me. That makes sense. And in that sense, you as a believer in Christ, one who's given your life to Christ, one who has received Jesus as Savior, you have a favorable position. And yet when I read the scriptures, I also read these kinds of passages that instruct me to do something in order to have favor before God. And tonight as we look at the scripture, we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about what keeps us from having favor with God. So let me make a distinction for you. The Proverbs are talking to people who already stand in a positional sense of favor before God. That is, Israel had been adopted as the people of God. And you and I, who receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, we have been made children of God. So this favorable position can bring this access. Now, let me tell you how that works. And I don't know of any better place than Genesis chapter 39. If you can turn there quickly, turn quickly. Let me read you this verse. Genesis chapter 39, verse 4. It is a statement about Joseph. Now, you remember Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he found himself during a great period of his life struggling through this slavery that he'd been sold into. And yet, if you read the story of Joseph, if you know the story of Joseph, at every place, though life treated him unfairly, God stepped in and gave him favor. Because he had favor with God, he gained favor with men. So he finds himself as a sold slave in a man named Potiphar's house. Big farm, big industrial complex, essentially. But this is what it says. Though he is a slave, so Joseph found favor in, this is Potiphar, chapter 39, verse 4, in his sight, and he became his personal servant, and he made him to be the overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. Wow. So though his brothers sold him in slavery, in the midst of this, he finds himself the servant of a rich man. But instead of having the position of a slave, the man takes him and elevates him to what is essentially the general manager over the entire complex, giving him all of the rights and the privileges of one who holds that position. That's what it means to have favor, that God worked in his life. He had favor with God, and God worked in his life. So God's word is practical. How do you find favor in the eyes of your employer, in the eyes of your future employer? How do you find your position? How do you position yourself for growth in life, in business, in whatever endeavors you do? How do you do that? Well, you do what it says here. You find favor by binding to your heart kindness and truth. Now, I want to get this across to you very clearly, so let's talk about a father's love. Let's talk about a father's love. We said there is a positional place of God's favor when you have come into the family of God, right? And so what we're talking about this morning is not, during most of this message, is not about getting saved. We're talking about people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Therefore, they have been adopted into the family and made partakers into that favor of God. But even as we talk about that, what does that mean? Well, there is the favor of God's love, the Father's love. So put yourself in a position of being a dad, being a mom. Many of you are in that position. You know exactly what that is. And so as a dad or a mom, we're talking about the Father's love. We're not talking about an earthly father who does things imperfectly, but a heavenly father who does things perfectly. And in a father's love, just by virtue of his love, there is acceptance. So when we come to God in Christ, he fully accepts us, even though we are sinners. He washes away our sin. Even though we've been in rebellion, he forgives our rebellion, and he accepts us in Christ. That's that position. And a father delights in his children. So there's a sense in which God delights in you. And when he sees you, he thinks wonderful things about you because you are his child. And even if you do something wrong, you are still accepted in Christ, and he still delights in you. I have wonderful children. Do they always behave wonderfully? No, they don't. But I love my children. You know I love my children. And I want you to know, because God made them my children, I fully accept them, whatever's going on in their life, and I delight in them. They delight me. I talk to them. They bring delight to me. And so they have my favor in that sense. But that's not really the sense we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 3. My favor and a father's love desires good for them. It always desires good for them. And when I die, they're going to inherit. I want to tell you, they are going to inherit my house payments, my car payments. They're going to inherit everything, right? They're going to get it all. Why? Because they are my children. Now, Proverbs is talking to people who are already accepted in that way in the Father's love, as are you. It is unconditional in the sense that the condition has already been paid by Christ. You cannot lose it because they are your children. They are made your children. And he has adopted you so firmly in Jesus that there is no difference in your position in God's family and in the position of God's only begotten Son. That's pretty cool. And that is awesome. I don't know how to describe that. That's what we talk about when we talk about God's unconditional love. And that's all found in the Father's love. Now, all of that my children have. I've even adopted a child. He's taller than me and he's redheaded. We call him son-in-law. But I pray for him like I pray for Lindsay, and I pray for him like I pray for Keith, and I'm gonna love him like I love them, right? And he is accepted, and I delight in what God's doing in his life, and I desire for his good, and he's gonna get to pay some of those bills when I die too. But there's a difference between a father's love and a father's trust. And when we're talking about Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, and the favor and good repute in the sight of God and man that gains us all that God wants to bestow on us, we're talking about the difference. Again, all children, but we're talking about the difference between merely the love of God and the trust of God. And you make a difference in that in your life, don't you? You love your children, but that doesn't mean you're going to give them the car keys necessarily, right? You love your children, but you see that if you pour out blessings upon them, those blessings may turn around and curse them because they're not mature enough, they're not responsible enough, or they're not behaving in a way that says, I can handle that blessing. And so you don't give it to them. What we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4 is developing the kind of character so that my Father in heaven not only loves me, but he can trust me in order to give me the things that he desires. This adds, you see, though my Father accepts me and delights in me and even desires nothing but good for me, I want my Father to come to a place where he is favorably disposed to me. So that when I walk into the room, he, knowing my background, knowing my character, knowing my maturity, knowing my development, says, you know, I can't wait to hear what my son has to say to me or request from me, because I know it'll be something out of that maturity and that growth in his life and something I would desire to do. Understand that? Secondly, this father's trust that draws from my developing kindness and truth in this character in my life brings a favorable partnership. I might be a father who has a wonderful, successful business, and I want that business to thrive, and it's blessed me and my family, and now I want it to bless my children and my children's children all the way through. But until a character is developed in the life of my child, I cannot bring that child into partnership with me so as to allow them to run the business and entrust them with the blessings that come from doing that. So what we're talking about in 3 and 4 is developing a favorable partnership in which God wants to partner with me in kingdom work. Thirdly, not only a favorable disposition, a favorable partnership, but favorable blessing. So that God says, look, I've got all of these blessings I want to pour out on you. And the fact that I'm not pouring them out on you doesn't mean that I don't love you. Because I want only good for you. It doesn't mean that you don't have access before my throne, because that comes in Jesus. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. In fact, I do love you. That's why I can't pour them out on you. But you need to develop certain characteristics within your life in order that my favor moves from the favor of one who loves you deeply to the one who can trust you implicitly. Does that make sense? Because I struggled all week to go, but Father, we are unconditionally accepted. We are we don't have to be all cleaned up in order to come before you and know your favor. So Lord, and yet there's, how do I express it? And this is the way I believe God wanted me to express it to you. The same way you understand the difference between a father's trust and a father's love. The love never fails. It's always in our favor. But there comes a place at which you can only bless with the trust of a father. And that's what I want in my life, don't you? Because with that trust comes not only God's favor, but God working in my life so that he causes other men to be in favor and bless also. And that works in the favor of God and men. See, that's the difference. Jesus, it says, grew in the favor of God and men. Don't be fooled. Though God desires to respond favorably to you, he is neither an overindulgent parent nor a blind deity. It does matter what you do. It does matter how you behave. It does matter if you obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. He loves you even if you're from your lost condition and he brings you in, but he will not reward you with his favor, nor will he shield you from sin's consequences unless you seek him and grow into the kind of character so that he can entrust to you all that he seeks to bless you with. Do you want that favor? Now let me show you how to get it. You get it by developing two things in your life. Here are the life keys. One, he says that you need to bind kindness and truth to your life. Now, kindness, this is a word in the Hebrew, it is chesed. It is, I would translate it for you this morning as gracious, loving kindness. Gracious, loving kindness. This is a character trait that God wants to see in your life. The word chesed is a word that is often translated in the Old Testament with the word grace from the New Testament. It is sometimes translated with love. It is sometimes translated in some translations unfailing love. It is sometimes translated gracious love. And you can understand that fully from God's perspective. This is the gracious love that he pours out upon mankind, that he pours out upon his children. But he wants you to develop it in your life. Now, the only way for you to develop it in your life is to allow the Lord to develop it with you. It is God's unmerited favor. It is loving kindness. It is grace. It is a common sense idea of being gracious and kind and loving in word and in deed. And then along with that, he says, the other thing that you need, this life key that you need to bring about the favor of God in men, is genuine fidelity. Genuine fidelity. This word, emet, in the Hebrew, emet is a word that sometimes is translated truth. That is honesty. But it's deeper than that, and it becomes like truthfulness and trustworthiness. So that it kind of, in the New Testament, the New Testament says that as believers, we are supposed to work not as to man, but as to God, so that we are trustworthy, always understanding that God is our boss, not other people are our boss. And as we do that, the Bible says we'll gain favor with the boss because God will pour out his favor upon us. And that's what it is. Now, these are two traits, by the way, that God places in you when you become a Christian. Let me show you a word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here's what it says. Therefore, I'm going to give you time to get there. Man, I love to hear you turn in your Bible, so you get there before I read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, that includes you and me, is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, or all things have become new. That is, God has poured out in your life his Spirit, and with that, his love, and with that, his fidelity, his trustworthiness. You see, genuine salvation does not come without change in your life. It changes your perspective in everything in life. So now when you look at people, in your work, in your relationships at home, you're not going to remain as you were before. You're not going to stay like you were. When you look at people, you're going to value them like God values you. You're going to develop love for them like God loves you. And so particularly when you first come to Christ and you realize, and many of you remember this in your life, you remember your life so changing. You looked at people you didn't care for and suddenly you cared for them. You looked at people that you were mad at and suddenly instead you loved them and you were praying for them. And those are the things God instills within your life. They're already there, and yet, let me tell you that these things, in the essence of working them out in your life, they can leave. Now look at these verses in Proverbs again. Hear what they say. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And what that's saying is that you have to actively pursue these characteristics in your life throughout your life. Give me that next slide. Let me show you. Actively pursue them. You see, he's saying you bind them. In fact, these are imperatives. They're commands all the way through here. You bind them. You write them. You do not lose them. So though God begins to pour them out in your heart, the reality is they can be lost. In the sense of practical working them out in your life, they can be lost. The harshness of the world, selfishness of your own old nature, just the weariness of daily struggles, the anger of the lost world around you that is aimed at you, and it all of that conspires to bring you back into a conformity to the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world and all that you live in is trying to conform you to it, and its bitterness and its anger, everything the opposite of chesed and amet. And if you're not actively in pursuit within your life of loving kindness and fidelity, of this truthfulness within your life, you will be sucked back into the habits of the old life and the old world. So one, you have to pursue them. Two, you make them an attractive habit. An attractive habit. Listen to what it says. Bind them around your, do not let them leave you. And then bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So the idea is of someone who has a beautiful necklace, and they're going to wear it around their neck. So you want the attractiveness of loving kindness and fidelity, truthfulness or faithfulness, to be around you as a beautiful necklace so that people see it. I mean, it ought to be a character in your life that they see. And it's projected to others. It's almost as if he's riding, you know what an amulet is? And we don't believe in amulets. Listen to me. That's like a good luck charm. But it's almost like a believer's charm. Not a good luck charm, but something you want to make sure you have on so that God can pour his blessing out on you. And so I want to wear around my neck this wonderful necklace of loving kindness and truth. But it's more than that. This intentionality says, don't let them leave you, bind them around your neck. And the word, you know what you do with your neck? You go, you breathe, right? And the breath of life is filling you through your neck. So the idea is that it's not just a pretty necklace around you, but it becomes part of you. It becomes part of your very life. That's the truth with this, write it on your heart too. It means it's becoming part of your very nature, your life, and your soul. And you want to build these up within you because this is the nature of God. And the more you share this characteristic of God within your life, the more God can partner with you and trust you and pour out his blessing on you. An absolute character. Absolute character. Now, how do you get character within your life? I heard it said something like this one time. And I think with the Holy Spirit's help, it is true. You make a decision to take an action. And every time you make a decision to take an action of loving kindness and faithfulness, when nobody's looking, when everybody's looking, in any given circumstances, whether you're young or whether you're old, when you make a decision to take an action, that action becomes a developed habit. And as you continue to feed that habit of kindness, loving kindness, and truthfulness, fidelity in your life, that habit becomes a character. It builds character. And as you develop that in your life over a period of time, that character becomes a life. And it is upon this life that God can pour out His blessing of favor, which gives you favor both with God and with man. So you make a decision to take an action. You take an action to develop a habit. You develop a habit to build a character, and you build character to establish a life. And there it is. The key to a life in which God has come to give you life that is abundant, life that is wonderful, is that you develop within your life loving kindness and truthfulness. And you pursue them, and you do not let them go, and you make it everything about what you are, whether anybody else does it or not. And God pours out His favor and blessing upon you. And part of that favor and blessing that He pours out upon you is to make you favorable in the eyes of other people, including like bosses and professors and others who will be part of God's blessing in your life. What if you have no favor? I've been talking to believers. I've been talking to people who are adopted into the family of God, who've made children of God. So God is dealing with you as a father. He already loves you. He already accepts you. He already wants good for you. Now He wants you to be trusted by Him so He can pour out His favor. But what if you're not in the family yet? What if you're not a child of God? You've not received His grace. And you say, well, I want to put these things in my life so that God's going to bless me. Is that going to work? One last verse and we're through. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. If you're in Proverbs, go a little further. You're going to go through Proverbs. You're going to get to Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then you're going to find Isaiah. And Isaiah is a pretty long book in the Old Testament. But I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 64 and two verses. Isaiah 64, 6. You say, well, what if I develop all of these things in my life, but I'm not a child of God? I don't want to receive Jesus to be my Savior. I don't want to be part of His family. That's not for me. Too many restrictions, whatever your reasons are, but you want to develop this life keys in your life. Here's what he says. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name who arouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. Until you have settled your relationship with Jesus, invited Him into your life to be your Savior and Lord, called upon Him to seek forgiveness, given Him your life, you're not dealt with the way I'm dealt with before God. You don't have access. And all the stuff you do because it's not been cleansed by Christ is just selfishness trying to gain favor from one you can never gain favor with, because your righteousness looks like filth to Him. And indeed, if you could see it compared to Him, you'd say it is filth. How do you change that? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, to trust Him means to give Him your life, to ask for His forgiveness, and to receive Christ as your Savior. When you do that, He places you in a position of family. You stand with me as we pray. Father, I just come before You thanking You so much for the position You have given us in Christ. Those of us who have invited Him into our life, who have given Him our life, Lord, we never find ourselves out of Your side and in that sense out of Your favor. We always have access. We always have forgiveness. We always have your best as your delight for us. And yet, Father, we know that so often we've not followed you with obedience. And so for those of us who know you and want to find the kind of favor that allows you to partner with us and pour your blessing out upon us and give us favor with you and with men, Lord, help us to bind very distinctly today, to make a decision to bind loving kindness and fidelity to our life, truthfulness to our life. In everything we do, in everything we say, in every interaction with others, let us make it a decision to act that becomes a habit, that becomes our character, that makes our life. Father, I just ask that for every one of us. And then, Father, for those who are here in this room or listening, who really are outside your family, who find the gates to heaven and to access to your throne closed, no favor in your sight, I pray, dear Father, they'd recognize that their own attempts to be good enough are nothing but filthy rags, and that they would receive you as Savior today, knowing you want to throw open the gates and receive them into your family. Father, I pray they would respond to you by your Holy Spirit today as well. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.